Good morning, church.
I know that I said last week that if you didn't like my preaching, you get Mark back next week anyway, but he went and got sick, so you're stuck with me again. But it is wonderful to be before you this morning, and I want to tell you about one of my favorite verses. It's James 4:8. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. I guess you could say that God is the destination of our journey. Yes, I know our ultimate goal is heaven, but why? Well, because it's the place where we get to be with God, where we get to know him better. But I think you could also say that once we have come near God, we have arrived exactly where we need to be right now. Near God is where you need to be today. Today. Did you know that you could be close to God even before you get to heaven? You can. And it's wonderful. God is real. And God is good. So it is my great prayer that you are, in fact, near him. Would you say that's where you are this morning? As you sit here and just think about it for a second, could you say honestly right now that you are near God? Is that true? Are you near God? I certainly hope so. I think that would be a good thing for you. I think that's where you need to be. And if you are, praise God. And let me ask you this. How did you get there? You know, what kind of journey did you go on to come to an awareness of, to come to a respect for, and to finally come to a love of God? How did you get there? Well, I imagine you had Christian parents who helped you out. Maybe you had coaches and ministers and good Christian friends. I imagine I was fortunate enough to have a Christian parent. And I've had many Christian friends and encouragers along the way. But this morning, I want you to think about the journey of somebody who, their walk looks a little different. They started from a little bit of a different place. Now, perhaps the person we're considering this morning has grown up in what is becoming a typical American home. You have two parents, and probably one of them has some sort of religious background. Let's say mom there grew up in the church, but she gave that up to marry Mr. Right-ish, and now they don't go to church at all. Religion is no longer a part of their home. And that's what their kids are growing up in. And mentioning God is generally frowned upon. You know, we're considering a boy who grew up in our American school system, where one teacher after another taught him that evolution explains why we are here and how we came into existence. And he's not been taught to doubt it or to think differently. But as he gets older, there's an emptiness there. You know, somewhere in his heart, he knows that there's something more. But what is it? How does he find that missing piece? Years go by, and now he's married and a father of two himself. And you know, the part of this journey that matters the most really takes off when he goes on a camping trip. He goes camping, and one night he is restless. He's anxious. He can't sleep. He stays up late, and he goes and he sits on a park bench, and he looks up at the stars. And in that moment, as he's looking up into the night sky, he knows. He knows that there is a God. Now, he didn't hear a voice or anything, but he didn't have to. As he looked there, when he saw the beauty of creation, something clicked for him. You probably want to be in Psalm chapter 19 this morning, as it describes this journey and shows this way that we come to knowledge of God. First couple of verses begin this journey. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge." Even though the heavens don't have an actual voice, Scripture says they speak. By their very existence, they proclaim, "God made me." And anyone who is honestly seeking truth knows it. Revelation chapter 1 puts it this way. They know it, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. The heavens pour forth speech, Psalm 19 says. And anyone who is listening can hear that a divine and powerful being is Creator God. So in that moment, as the guy we're talking about is sitting on the bench and looking up at the stars, in that moment, he listens. He listens to the heavens pouring forth their speech. He believes. He gives up his kind of casual atheism and becomes a believer in God. And that is a good step in the right direction. It's an important step to come to a belief in God. But he is not yet near God. Not yet. You know what? Let's go ahead and call this guy Lucas to make this a little bit easier. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Lucas is a fictional, but I think pretty realistic character. So this guy that we're going to call Lucas for the rest of this message, having become a believer in God, decides to have a tough conversation with his family. They sit down for dinner and he tells his wife and his two children that he believes there's something more to life. He now believes in God. He also tells them he would like to try going to church. Now, the family isn't super thrilled, as you can tell, but they decide to humor Dad. So on Sunday, they get into the car and they drive to a church that they had seen several times from the road, very large church building, so they notice that, and they end up going to a large community church. We could say this: the church really did put on a show. I mean, they had a live band leading songs. The message was interesting. I mean, the Bible wasn't open, but there were many helpful points about finances and psychology. And so that some points there. Visitors got a free coffee, and that's nice. We're going to be kind this morning, and we'll just say that it may not have been a bad step to have the courage to walk into a church building, but for Lucas, the emptiness was still there. He was no nearer to God. He realizes this, and he decides and tells his family, "We're going to try somewhere else." So the next Sunday, they work up the courage again, and they walk into a Church of Christ. Maybe this one. Maybe. And as they come in, it's considerably less exciting at first because nobody is rocking when they walk in. That's not happening. But the people seem nice. That's good. The word was better. The word was better. You know, when the Bible class teacher got up and began speaking and reading the Word of God, something clicked in Lucas's mind. As class goes on and the scripture is being explained, he begins to think this thought: God is speaking to me. God is speaking to me. A light bulb comes on in his mind. He comes to believe the truth of Psalm 19, 8 through 11, which says, "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned, in keeping them there is great reward." And after hearing scripture, Lucas thinks, finally, I now see what God wants. It's been made clear to me. The Bible has shown me what is right. The Bible has shown me what I should stay away from and what will result in reward. Now, the stars spoke to me in a way, telling me that there is a God. The Word has spoken to me in a much clearer way. There is a God, and this is what He wants. And this is an important realization in Lucas's journey. But he is not there yet. He is not yet near God. Not yet. You know, hearing the Word for the first time was a wonderful thing. But I will say that something uncomfortable can happen when you hear the Word for the first time, or for the first time in a long time. In fact, there's a story in the Old Testament about what happened to King Josiah when he heard the Word of God. As far as we could tell, the Word hadn't been publicly read for something like 60 years. But they find it, they bring it to the king, and they read it. And how do you think he responded? You know, wow, the Word of God, this is great. Well, no, he had a slightly different response that you could read in 2 Kings 22:11. It says, "When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes." Sign of grief, of great grief. Well, why? Well, it didn't take long for the king to figure out that what was being read to him from the Word of God did not match what he was doing. He wasn't practicing the things that were found in the Word of God, and it bothered him so much that he tore his expensive clothes in grief. Now, the guy we're calling Lucas was bothered by the same thing. After hearing that kind of life that God wanted, he quickly saw that he was not living that way. It was pretty obvious, pretty fast. And he didn't tear his clothes, but his heart sank and tears began to come to his eyes. After hearing the kind of things that God calls sin, Lucas figured, I've committed several of those. And he also figures that for everyone he knows about, there's probably 10. 10 mistakes he doesn't even realize he's making, and he figures he is. And so after coming to that understanding, this man takes another important step on his journey. He asks God for help, like David did. If you have your Bibles open, in verses 12 and 13 of Psalm 19, he prayed, "Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults." As in the ones I don't know about, God, please forgive them. I'm sorry about those. "Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me." So he prays, God, forgive the ones I don't know about. Help me not to do the ones I do know about. And that is good. But he is not yet near God. Oh, he's close to the kingdom of God, as Jesus might say, but he's not there yet. A guy by the name of Isaac Watts wrote the hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." You probably know that one. It's a famous hymn. Well, you might not know his work on Psalm 19, a little less well known. He read Psalm 19 and decided to write a poem. And I'll go ahead and read some of that to you. This is Isaac Watts' poem that he wrote after he read Psalm 19. "The heavens declare thy glory, Lord, in every star thy wisdom shines. But when our eyes behold thy word, we read thy name in fairer lights. Sun, moon, and stars convey thy praise round the whole earth and never stand. So when thy truth begun its race, it touched and glanced on every land. Nor shall thy spreading gospel rest till through the world thy truth is run, till Christ has all the nations blessed that see the light or feel the sun. Great sun of righteousness, arise. Bless the dark world with heavenly light. Thy gospel makes the simple wise. The laws are pure, the judgments right. See, for Lucas, when the stars shone, they lit the way to a knowledge of the Creator God. When the word shone, it lit the way to an understanding of what God expected. But now he needs another light to continue his journey. To get him the rest of the way to God, he needed Jesus. He needed the one who said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There is no beating sin on your own. You can't do it. It's too hard. You cannot overcome the darkness without Jesus. You cannot travel the distance that your sin has put between you and God. And so the next step in Lucas's journey was to ask a very important question. As he sat there and thought about how far away he was from God's holiness, he wanted to know, well, how then can I be saved? How can I deal with all these sins and how can they be forgiven? His travels took him to a front pew one Sunday morning where he asked the preacher that very same question. How then can I be saved? And that preacher told him the same thing any gospel preacher would say and the same thing that Peter said so long ago when he was asked by the people, how then can we be saved? He answered, you need to repent and be baptized and your sins will be washed away. Lucas was made up, that's true. I kind of created that story. But there are many people like him. Not an uncommon story, I don't think. I know that journey of going from being far away from God to being near God. And there are many Lucases in the world today, and some of them make the trip from far to near. Now, it can be a long journey for some. It can take many years, as it did in Lucas's case. Some people have to hit rock bottom before they begin that pilgrimage. Only when they're desperate do they start. And for some, it begins when they look up at the stars and see what God has made. Some see what he's made and they want to get to know him better. They want to be near him. Then the word reveals the way. By telling them about Jesus, the light of the world. The word tells people how to accept Christ and become a part of his church. And when somebody comes up out of the waters of baptism, they have arrived at where they need to be. Sin has been defeated. They are now near God. Is that the journey you need to make this morning? Are you far from God? Or would you say that you're near? Well, if you can't honestly say that you're near, we want to talk to you. We don't want you to leave here without being near God. It's very important. Luckily for you and for me, I serve a God who wants to be found. He wants you to find him. He wants you to be near him, and he wants you to spend forever with him. He will show you what you need to do. If you have that thought in your heart, you know, I want God to be pleased with me. How do we make that happen? Maybe Psalm 19 helps show you the way this morning. Maybe you also have looked up at a night sky or seen the clouds and like the sun kind of bursting through them or seen a rainbow or seen the mountains and you said, you know what, this is pretty obvious. I get it. There's a God. Maybe you've been there. And maybe you've had the opportunity to come to services sometime and hear the word spoken. And you've heard what God wanted. But maybe also you've come to understand I've got a problem because I don't always live by it. And I need help with that. Well, isn't it wonderful that God sent His Son Jesus to give us that help? This morning, if that is what you need, if you have not yet obeyed the gospel, repenting and being baptized into Christ, you're not yet where you need to be. But for those who have, who are faithful, we know that they are on their way to being with God forever. If you need help doing that, we'd like to hear from you also, because that is our hope for you, that you'll have that opportunity to spend forever with our wonderful Creator, powerful God. And in the last verse of this psalm, you see the goal: to have every part of our lives be pleasing to God so that we can be and remain close to Him. Verse 14 says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Are you ready to make that your prayer? If so, whatever your need may be, please come forward as we stand and sing.